It's interesting because you'd like to have this last game, given the circumstances and skipping week eight, you'd like to have this last game as a tune-up, since, especially since you get a bye week in the playoffs. But do you want it to be one of the top three teams in the entire state?
Well, I think you already knew that was coming.
Yes.
They haven't brought them in as a replacement game.
No, but you'd like to be healthy.
Sure.
It doesn't feel like coming off a week of quarantine, even though everybody wasn't sick and everybody didn't have it. It just doesn't feel like you're healthy when you have to take a week off and then you come back.
North did the same thing and gave Roncalli all they wanted for a half.
I
understand you play 48 minutes. That's we get that, but that's a pretty good response for missing as much time as they did. The other thing that South won't have the emotional lift of, there won't be a senior night, and them missing a game last week was the whole point why senior night was early part of the season, because we didn't know 9 weeks ago how we would be doing. We're not sure, but here we are. So you missed that emotional lift a little bit, but you also missed the other emotional side of senior night, where it's the finality of the last home game, whatever. Yeah. And sometimes not everybody takes it as, let's go do this. Sometimes people get introspective and, man, sucks.
Yes.
It's over.
Yes.
But so go out there and just worry about Chatard. That's enough to worry about.
Yeah.
And we'll see what South brings. Now, we don't know who has it, doesn't have it, whatever, who's going to play. The last time you saw the South Panthers, their defensive line was in sweatpants.
Four of the three.
So
that's correct.
And I'm a math guy, and I know that's wrong, but I know right. So if you can get a couple of those guys back, why? Because you need to start shaping and getting ready for a sectional battle where you're going to go down to Castle, and that's not easy.
No,
so there's nothing easy here in the last month for South football. Mm-hmm. So what the hell? Let's get dirty. Let's get in the dirt and get after it.
I mean, that's the good part about it. No question about that. Is just kind of lay it out there, have some fun. I mean, here you go. You didn't know for sure if we'd be able to play again, or at least right away, and here you go. You get the game. So why not just lay it all out there? That's the attitude you have to take as the coaches, certainly, to try to get the team riled up for that. Because, I mean, you are outmanned in this game. You knew that from last year, and you knew that going into this one a little bit too. But, they're not going to back down, obviously. But
no.
The introspective thing that you mentioned is kind of the interesting part to me. I mean, do you get into that, it's great to be playing football. Let's go and lay it on the line and see what happens and then play out the streak in the second half. It's fine. I mean, you're playing, like you said, and it doesn't actually mean anything from the standpoint of they get in the playoffs no matter what happens in this
yes.
game. They do not have a conference affiliation with Chatard, so there's nothing worried about there. It's on your record, obviously, but it doesn't cost you anything if you lose.
No,
it, so.
And the other thing is, I don't know, maybe times have changed a bit. When we were in school, when I was in school, we loved to play.
We hated
practice.
No, no question.
Nobody wanted to go do the little things.
No, no question.
Here's another hand. The football guys we saw, Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Look at them. Go out and just play.
Yep.
Do what you love. Love what you do. And have some fun. And sometimes, if you're not 100% prepared, that might be bad for coaches, but it might be okay for kids who just want to play.
Yeah.
Where you don't overthink it, where you're not wondering, oh, am I going to screw up and what's going to – just go out and play sometimes. You're huge underdogs.
Yeah.
Go out and play. And that domino falls, and then hopefully everyone stays healthy.
Yeah, that's the key.
And you get up and you pack up and you go to Castle, and what does every coach say before the sectional start?
You're 0-0.
Every team starts with a clean slate, 0-0, and then get worried about what happens.
Yeah.
Then you have finality. Then you have, oh, my God, it could be over forever. Yeah. Right. Play football. It's going to be cold.
Yeah.
It hasn't been cold all year. Who reacts best to that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Pop some pads. Pop some balls out.
Let's see what happens.
That's all you can
do. More
Absolutely
than anything,
right.
They need to get some numbers back on that defensive line. Because that's the one spot that's been hit by an injury.
And if not, a bunch of young kids are going to get a test of their lives.
Yeah, and they did what they could the last time we saw them against Columbus North. I think they did about everything you could ask of them, considering they had barely any playing time on any of their dockets. So, you kind of like the fact that they stepped up into into that spot and did their best. But, it is what it is. It's a huge challenge this week for the Panthers, and we'll see how they take it.
And it's a huge challenge for Bloomington North as well. The emotion of last year's game at Southport, that has to be a great reminder.
Yeah.
Conference champions, they went up there, won an overtime game that you and I had a chance to call, which was a fantastic – that was a gorgeous night for weather up there, too.
Great night, great game.
This will feel like football weather, but this Southport team that we've seen Bloomington South take on already this year, Here's the simple part. Don't give them any presents. They will gladly accept them and shove it down your throat in short fields and everything else, which we have seen. So it's North for the third week in a row, Dave, and it's Columbus North. Not involved with that for once.
Yeah.
Or with South North North. And Southport comes to town. The Cardinals have had a truncated season, just like, well, just about everybody. Well, minus Edgewood. Good job there. Mustangs on their part. It's a Conference Indiana battle.
Crossing fingers.
Fingers are always crossed. Wood is always knocked. Legs are crossed. Yes. Everything else. And Southport, 6A school. That's also a great test in your final week before they hop on the gold, the maroon and gold bus and head down I-69 as well.
Well, we got great games towards the end of last season with North. I mean, obviously a senior-dominated team, and especially the defense last year. But having being able to call the Roncalli game last year for North, and then to turn around and go on the road for this Southport game that as you mentioned, that you and I did, you know, just great, great football games in both of those. And of course, you know, 1-1 lost the other, but it was tremendous football. You know, very physical game against Roncalli. They really beat Columbus North pretty well in between there. And we, you know, that was a little bit of a surprise that they would handle them the way they did. But then that shootout in Southport. And Southport was all about offense last year, all about the offense. And that's
all
what it came down to.
All over the field.
It was
Brevin Jefferson, Michael Munoz.
Ryan Lazon.
The quarterback who couldn't move.
Yeah, exactly.
And he could, yeah.
That was a good football team, and that was a good North team that went up there and beat them. And, you know, again, it's a field goal, and it's a goal line stand in overtime. And we had the coaches near us, and they were digging it too. That was a fun night. And with this team, you know, with this Southport team, I mean, I think this shows you the effects of the truncated season and the in and out and all that sort of thing a little bit too. They're kind of all over the map. You're trying to figure out what they are. They got beat 42-0 by Chatard. Okay, maybe not a surprise there, but
talking about coming back from COVID and having to jump into that Lions den, there's your proof.
The margin there is surprising. They only lost by 7 to Columbus North. That was a home game for them. Blew the doors off of South a little bit, but then they go and they lose at Terre Haute North. And Terre Haute North hadn't beat anybody. You know, so it was like, where did that come from?
And South gave them some gifts.
Yes.
Field position gifts, turnover gifts,
yeah.
A broken coverage on a trick play. Good for Southport, obviously, but it wasn't a 320-yard ground domination or 300 yards, 5 touchdown passes. You didn't see that out of it. And the reason why, you just mentioned, look at the Terre Haute North game.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't have that.
Yeah, it's just they're still up and down enough, you know, and they went to and beat Terre Haute South, but it was a shootout there, and Terre Haute South hasn't been scoring a lot of points this year, so it's hard to figure out exactly what you're going to get. What I like right now is of the, you know, of the local teams, North certainly seems to have I would say the most potential on defense right this minute. You know, they're still young, they're still trying to figure some things out, but I do like the move that they had made to the four-man defensive line last week.
Do you think they stick with that?
I don't know. Do you think
Southport presents the challenge offensively that necessitates that, or do you need more guys on the perimeter?
Well, here's what killed North last week at Columbus North. In the second half, it was the running of the quarterback. The quarterback had like 30 yards on 9 carries in the first half. He had 150 yards on 9 carries in the second half.
Yeah, 129, I believe you told me.
Rough numbers there, but still it was the same number of carries and 6 times as many yards. And it was a lot of scrambling, and there were some called runs in there. But that's what really damaged them. And I don't know that you're going to get that really too much with Southport this weekend. You know, their quarterback is a little bit more of a thrower. So I don't know that you need that, but you certainly want to slow down the running game. And I think what you saw is more ability to slow down the running game with a little more beef up front. You know, they got a couple 300 pounders that they can put at the defensive tackle position. One of the two defensive tackle positions.
You can move him on both
sides. Stewart's on there. I'm going to draw a blank right now, but there's another kid that starts there.
Bills.
Tanner Gibson.
Bills
is the other tackle.
But he always plays,
he's
right?
He's a smaller guy.
Yeah.
But that's why they got another
just barely
guy in
two
there.
Bills.
They needed some size.
Right.
They needed somebody that's hard to move, and both of those two big guys were hard to move.
But when
night.
You talk about guys that are hard to move as well, that doesn't mean they can't get to the passer if there's throwing involved.
Right.
If you overpower somebody and move in the backfield, we've seen.
And Stewart did that. I mean, Stewart ran through his blocker, caused the fumble, recovered the fumble.
If not, just a messy pocket forces bad thoughts and decisions, which can then help the secondary make some plays.
That's why I think they'll probably stick with the
four-man
line.
That'll be interesting.
You know, they lost the game. They had a bad second half. And you know, it was kind of momentum. It was kind of also, you know, Columbus North's that solid of a team, but I think they probably like what they saw on film from that defensive front a little bit better than maybe what they had been seeing. So that'll be one of the interesting questions there. Do they stick with it? Do they go back to the three-man? I think getting the big body out there really helps their defense a little bit more. So I think they're going to stick there.
It'll be interesting as well, Dave, because to a degree, at least in the second half, defensively, the last couple weeks, now we know the opponents have been very solid. The defense hasn't really created any momentum for the offense. You haven't seen the big takeaway. You haven't seen the strip or the big sack. Maybe the four-man front can help with that, because we saw them run out of gas a couple of times. Well, Ron Colley's tough in Columbus North. I get that they're good teams, but you have to find a play or a playmaker on that other side, maybe to give you a short field, maybe to give you a pick six or a fumble pickup in return, just to take the pressure off the other side of the ball.
Well, and that's why it was nice to see Stewart's play. You know, again, he's their starting center, so he doesn't play full-time full-time defense, but, you know, they rotate him in there. And, you know, and both the two guys made it difficult in the running game. Again, credit the running backs and the quarterback there at Columbus North for finding this little bit of space that was there on a lot of plays. But that's why I think North will stick with that. They like what they got, the disruption that those big bodies gave them on a really good offensive line. And that's, you know, I don't know that you're going to get that good of an offensive line here against Southport. But I think they saw enough positives, especially in the run game there, to stick with that 4-3. You do need to make a play eventually, and you'd like it to come from maybe a linebacker or a safety or something like that, try to get you the ball back. Tyree Rochelle had a couple interceptions earlier this year and returned one almost 100 yards. So, you know, you look for that again. Once you start getting some pressure on a quarterback,
especially
a stationary quarterback. I mean, Hammonds at Columbus North was nowhere near stationary.
Nope.
That kid was moving constantly, and the minute he saw anything, he took it upfield. So I wouldn't say an easier task this weekend, but as defensive line, defensive front, when you know the guy's going to be standing or in a place and is in a huge danger to run the ball, you're a lot more, I think, comfortable with your rushes.
That's Dave Novak. He'll join Joe Smith, the Hall of Famer, Southport and Bloomington North, coming up our broadcast game this Friday night, 6:30, Chalk Talk with the Hall of Famer and Coach Scott Bless. And Dave hangs out for the stats and analysis at 7 o'clock for kickoff time, and does the halftime recap and post game, all the fun stuff. We know you've listened, and you can listen on the airwaves or at WGCLradio.com. We'll take a quick timeout for Keith's News. When we come back, the first of two, Edgewood and Brown County. Ernie Banks said, hey, let's play two. I'll get your thoughts on why this game is either really important, not important, or is it going to be like a cagey boxing match? We'll hear from Dave next. 5:33 at WGCL, Glass in the Afternoon. Thank you for being with us. Happy hour. It's Wednesday. That means Dave Novak's here, and we're talking football. Our high school game for you this week will be on the north side as the Bloomington North Cougars hosting the Southport Cardinals. Chalk Talk at 6:30, the kick at 7 p.m. And South is back in action this week. They are off the COVID watch list, or whatever we're calling this, and we'll be taking on Bishop Chatard at Huff Memorial Field. Their hands will be quite full, and Chatard in town for a 7 o'clock start there. And then wrapping up our troika of games, as we do every Friday, is the Edgewood Mustangs, and they will be taking on Brown. Is this the Hoof and Talon game?
This is.
So a rivalry game to end.
It's a trophy game.
Week number 9, so you check, you have that to play for, mm-hmm. And strangely and oddly enough, because of the powers that be allow this to happen, you may play in your sectional the team you played in week 9, which I find terribly ridiculous.
Pretty unusual, though.
It's unlucky.
Yeah, it's pretty unusual.
I don't think either coach would like it.
No.
Well, that's where my questions are going to go for you. What's the more important game of the two, the trophy game tonight or the elimination winner go home game next Friday? Or I can probably make a case for both.
Fans love this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because you
coaches
can speculate on all that crap.
Coaches hate it.
Do you know what game's the most important game to a football coach?
Right now.
The next one.
Yeah.
This Friday night. This game. This
game
is big.
One of two.
They haven't played great. They think they got a little bit figured out in the second half last week.
And a rival
they're
is
going
coming
up against
to town.
A rival. They're going on the road for it this time. Yeah.
Where's the sectional game?
Sectional's at home. So
that's what I got back to.
Yeah, they're home and home.
Gotcha.
But this week's on the road. It's for a trophy that you get to keep all year long and talk about. And yeah, okay, the sectional game might get talked about more a little bit this time around. But you want the trophy. I mean, you want to stick the trophy in your thing. And again, it's always most important what you're doing this week. That's Amen. That's why, you know, Gabe Johnson is not going to start the JV against Chatard this weekend.
He needs his varsity to get reps.
He would like to keep his varsity healthy for the sectionals, but he's not going to not play them against Chatard just because Chatard's that good. And you know, you want to get through it and get on to the one that matters. No, the next one matters, and competing matters. So, I think you asked it earlier, kind of secondhand, not a question per se, but you don't hold much of anything back. You put your playbook out there. You know what you are at this point in time during the course of the season. If you got anything, you're going to make sure you use what you need.
Because you want to win the trophy.
Game. You want to win this next
game. That's right.
Yep.
Against your chief rival.
Yeah.
And that should always, and you're right, that should be number one on the list. Signs of life from Edgewood last week. From the coaching,
we shall see.
From the coach's words, that's where I didn't watch the game, so that's all I can pick up on that.
As positive as we've heard him in a while, so there's something.
And
there.
Coaches can always say nothing differently.
Yes.
But that something was said because he saw something that caught his eye. Did Brian Rosenberg that he believes?
Yeah.
Because I don't think you seek out and to say, hey, I thought we did some good things.
Yeah.
Because he could have talked about all the other things that did not go very well in that game, getting down early. Was it 28-7? They have dug more holes early.
Down the stretch, they certainly have,
The first half has been brutal, for lack of a better term. But he decided, or he thought, or he did see, based on his words, something is there. Now is the time for a trophy game and to flip that switch, which you don't do. No one flips it.
Yeah.
You have to progress to that point, and then you have to kick the door open. That's part of that.
You never know the mentality of the kids.
Kids.
You don't. And so... you know, I look at the Edgewood schedule, and I did this with Monrovia earlier this year, too. If you look at the year before with Monrovia, when we were doing Monrovia prep, their first two games, I think they held each team to 10 and 14 points or something like that. And then from that point forward, their defense averaged 42 points against. Something happened between week two and three or during week two or whatever it was, and that team quit effectively down the stretch, and it just didn't care. You look at Edgewood's schedule right now, and the last four games look that way. I mean, there's a dramatic difference from the first four to the last four. The last four games here against South Putnam, Indian Creek, Sullivan, and Northview, they're averaging 41 points against. Before that, they were averaging 16 points against. The difference is when you look deeper into it is who they're playing and who they were playing. And those four I mentioned down the stretch are the class of the conference right now. South Putnam is undefeated on the other side in the other division. Indian Creek, Sullivan, and Northview are the top three teams in your division, all very good football teams. You know, Sullivan's had up and down years, but Indian Creek or Northview are always good. Sullivan is good this year.
How's Brown County?
But earlier in the year, you know, that's when Edgewood had supposed cupcakes. And that's what makes that Monrovia game so upsetting is the way they kind of gave that one away. And that's really one they needed to have. They'd be 4-4 right now. So there's still something in the tank potentially. I still think there's a football team that can come out of that. And
does it help
looking
Edgewood,
at their sectional, they can make some noise in their sectional.
That's where I was going with that. Looking at the what's left, Brown County doesn't match up physically to Northview, doesn't match up physically to perhaps Sullivan or Indian Creek. Once you've been through the ringer for 5 or 6 weeks, you kind of get out of the ringer. I would hope that Edgewood could impress their will on what's going on
Friday
night.
Here's your transitive property games.
Yeah, cool.
Because there
thanks.
Are a couple of them, and we always enjoy that. Edgewood lost to South Putnam on the road 42-0. Edgewood lost to Indian Creek at home 27-7. Brown County lost at South Putnam on the road 33-13. And lost at Indian Creek 49-8. You know,
sounds like a fair fight.
Yeah, I mean they're relatively evenly matched,
and they're going through the same kind of rigors of the schedules.
And Brown County's had the same kind of thing. Their first three opponents they were 3-0 against, and they're flying on top of the world. Those three opponents right now are 1-20.
Well, they took care of business.
They took care of business,
that's
but those weren't very good football teams that they're playing either. That's the thing about that. When they face the better teams, kind of like with Edgewood, they really struggled to compete.
And you only can play who is on your schedule in the next 2 weeks. It's Brown County for the Red and Black. Best of luck, Coach Rosenberg and the gang. We'll hear more from Joe Smith on Friday with his high school football preview as well. Time out for Network Indiana News. We'll come back, talk Colts and Hoosiers and whatever else Dave has on his mind. Football Wednesday continues next. All right, our Football Wednesday preview show continues. Dave Novak will be back on the air 6:30 on Friday night with Joe Smith, the Hall of Famer. It's North and South Porter High School football game of the week. And then next week, the 23rd, we'll open up the 3A sectionals. The Edgewood Mustangs will host Brown County, taking on their, Hoof is Mustang Town. Talon are the Brown County Eagles.
That's correct.
Flying to town next week, so it's a home and home.
Yeah.
aggregate goals? Road goals count twice?
No, unfortunately, each one is completely separate, or fortunately, depending on how you're looking at it. So,
two chances
to play a rival, and one allows you to continue to play football at the end of the year. And they ought to both be good football games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I do think they're reasonably evenly matched.
And you know,
I think Edgewood can be the better team when it brings what it
wants. Isn't this the time of year for playing your best football?
If you're not, then good night.
Well, you'll
way
have
that
one
works.
More week to figure it out.
Yeah. So, but I think there's something good in there that can come out, and hopefully they find it here because we're gonna have them in 2 weeks.
That's
right. We'd like that to be another good game,
and we don't want it to be the last game of the season for the Mustangs. We'd like them to go on and continue and raise a little hell in 3A while the 5A teams have next week off. So if you wonder why we won't be talking about them next week, well, that's simply why. We will talk about the Colts every week. They're licking their wounds after a tough weekend defeat at Cleveland. They get another Ohio team this week, and completely opposite of what you saw last week. You'll see a team that's rebuilding with the number one draft pick in Joe Burrow, and all the returns from him and his early performances are someday he's going to be really good at this.
Yeah.
You just hope he doesn't find it in week six with the Colts in Indianapolis. The good news is the Horseshoe go home, they lick their wounds and get a rookie quarterback and a team that is not scoring a lot of points. They're 1-3-1 and scored 3 points last week in Baltimore against a good Ravens team, but I will remind Colts fans that the Bengals offense scored 3 points. The Colts offense had one touchdown, so let's not get too carried away. We know in the NFL there's one thing that is absolutely certain. There are no guarantees. Go ask the 49ers last week. They're at home 30-7 down against Miami. Maybe if you bet against the Jets. Maybe that's the only thing that's a guarantee in football. The Colts injury report, let's start there and work our way back. This is Wednesday, so this is a sign of things to come. Perhaps Mo Alie-Cox, Denico Autry, Julian Blackman, Trey Burton, Justin Houston, Darius Leonard, all DMPs. Mo Alie-Cox is new. Denico Autry is new because he hasn't been on that list because he's been just out. Trey Burton's injury category is rest, which isn't surprising at all. The good news is Anthony Costanzo had limited practice today. That's a lot better than being out or DNP.
Yep.
And Jordan Wilkins was limited with a calf deal. He didn't play a ton of snaps last week. But they need every piece of this puzzle. Costanzo is probably the most important one. Because I don't think you'll worry too much about the Bengals' offense. You want to just make sure your quarterback's clean because we saw how many problems last week.
Yeah.
That just dominoed and ran downhill and was tough.
That's a good defensive line that Cleveland's put together there. So
yeah. Geno Atkins is back for Cincinnati. I know that. He's a notorious game wrecker. He's not surrounded by a ton of stuff, but that's why you get the first pick in the draft. You're not very good.
You won't have to deal with Myles Garrett, which is a nice part.
That's not a week off, but close to it.
But you want to get that back, and you want to get back to trying to establish something with the run, you would think, this week. And the offense has a lot to prove at this point in time. Numbers aren't very good. The play's not very good. The quarterback's not playing very good. People are starting to talk about Chad Kelly again for no discernible reason,
they
but they are.
Why? Why would they do that?
Yeah, nobody with any importance, mind you, but
no,
it never was with Chad Kelly. So the pressure's on there. This offense is got playmakers, and even though some of them are injured and it's not at full strength there, it should be doing better than it has been. Cleveland's a good defense. Give them credit, but you've got to produce better.
I want to revise something with you that we talked about in week two that bothered me, and here we are in week six. Nyheim Hines had 15 touches against Jacksonville.
And they lost.
And they did lose, but you saw how effective those touches were, running the ball, catching screens. I read after the Browns game, they had thrown one screen pass, designed screen pass, in the last 3 weeks, and it went for 18 yards in the Browns game. Mm-hmm. For some reason, they've eliminated that part of taking the pressure off of Rivers. Is that been, in your opinion, and I know we don't have the film in front of us, is that something defenses have taken away, or is that something the Colts have just simply forgot to do because they've fallen in love with a tight end here or this? I don't know the game planning well enough to know that, but that seemed to be an effective weapon that has gone away.
Well, keep in mind, again, most teams do not do the same thing every week like they used to.
Absolutely.
20, 30 years ago, you had your identity. You ran Emmitt Smith behind Gerald Johnston.
Yep.
You threw the quick
Jay
out.
Novacek.
Yeah, you
then
threw
you
the
Michael
quick
Irvin.
Out to Michael Irvin, and Alvin Harper would be open over the middle for a post.
Yep.
So you knew this stuff was there. It was just a matter of how effective you were doing it all. Then it would all work. with the offenses nowadays, you've got to do something completely different all the time. I mean, there's too much film work. There's too much homework that's done. They know from a formation what's coming.
It feels that nothing they're doing is working.
Colts actually did a great job on a trick play that Cleveland ran, where it was an end-around type of play where they fake a off tackle. They run the end-around to the wide receiver, and two defenders are standing there waiting on
it
for a three-yard loss.
Yeah, Justin Houston stood him up.
Great. And that's all film work. That is having seen that.
Beckham threw a pass, too.
Yeah, remembering that and saying, that's that play, jumping all over it. That's what you see. With the screen, when you run it as much as they did early in the season, people are going to start seeing that as a tendency and come after it. So, I mean, you do have to change things up.
And that's,
do they need to get back to it? You hope so, because it was effective.
Well,
against a quick front like you just saw, you might get in on Phillip Rivers too quickly to give him the chance to have the time to set up the screen before you're taking Phillip Rivers' legs out, which would be bad.
And setting up a screen and just throwing a screen are two different things where you just – I'm looking to find ways to get ball in hand of playmaker, and Hines has the speed and the pop to do so. And I think that'll be the next thing, because even we've seen the tight ends kind of slag away. They only had three catches before the final drive. Then Burton caught two, one for 10, one for 11.
Yeah.
But three completions to tight ends. Jack Doyle has more holding penalties than he has catches this year. I would look it up and bet we're not wrong. But 10-yard TY is not getting down the field. Pascal, nice when they throw it to him. Johnson, great.
Yeah.
Doolin caught a ball for 36 yards. It just seems like it's a tapestry of mismatch than it is a, here's what we're going to attack moving forward.
Yeah.
Maybe I expected more out of Frank Reich and Phillip Rivers in this marriage. It's only week five.
Well, there's a lot of things, and that's one of them.
And there's a lot of moving pieces in there that are hard to square up.
I mean, one of them is who you're up against, you know. And again, so we're coming off of week four, so most of our opinion with the NFL gets colored by the last game we just saw, where they struggled on offense. But guess what? They put four drives up where they put points. So their field goals, and that's been an issue all year long, is not getting into the end zone. But they did get in position to score points four times. There's a positive there. They are moving
between
the
20s. It's
bit.
Great.
They're not. Yeah. I mean, they're not explosive, and I think that's the key. And that's where the screen pass was so easy early in the season. But at the same time, you had. Do we think T.Y. Hilton is full strength? Jacksonville doesn't know better. We have Paris Hilton.
Campbell.
Paris Campbell, thank you. That's a better one.
Who stays at Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton. You've got those
guys.
You have
Paris and Hilton.
You had at the time Pittman, the number one or the number two draft pick. Number one draft pick, actually. So you had all these guys. He was a second round.
First pick, second round.
You had all these guys that were still in your offense, and you don't right now. You don't have a couple of those guys. And again, we found out now that T.Y. Hilton is not the speedster that you need to take the tops off. So you haven't seen that explosion. Where is that explosion
going
to
come from?
If you don't have it and you don't show it, the defense knows that.
Yeah.
And now they start creeping up because you're not getting behind us anyways. That's what makes the running game harder. That's what makes the screens harder to get off. So I'm sure they'll get back to the screen. They don't just forget about it.
Nope.
Each week is a little bit different game plan. But they also see how successful or unsuccessful it's being. And they're not going to stick with it forever and just bang their head into the wall running 10 screen passes that don't go anywhere.
Translate this stat for me according to Next Gen Stats. Colts rookie running back Jonathan Taylor has faced a stacked box, eight-plus defenders, on 27.27% of his carries, fifth most in the National Football League, minimum 30 attempts. Last season, Marlon Mack saw a stacked box on 12.15% of his carries, 39th in the league, minimum of 85 carries. You would think with Jacoby Brissett under center, you would force them to throw. You'd stack it more.
Yeah.
Well, that stat, at least early, sounds like they don't want the Colts' running game to get going, and they're going to make Phillip Rivers beat them.
I think that's reasonably fair. I think that's reasonable. I don't know if it's entirely we want to give Phillip Rivers the chance, but I think it's when we see Jonathan Taylor in there, we're probably looking at him running the ball.
Or there are lines that good and we need extra bodies in there.
That's part of it too. If you run two tight ends a lot, which the Colts do, that's going to be part of it. I'm not sure exactly how to interpret that because you would have.
I just find it interesting.
You would have thought you would have taken away Marlon Mack or tried to take away Marlon Mack when you got Jacoby Brissett in there.
Yeah,
it could just be that they don't see Jonathan Taylor right now as the home run threat that Marlon Mack was, so they keep safeties back.
And last year, explosive was not the word used to describe the Colts offense at all. They were 30th in plays over 20 yards. They were 29th in this and that and everything else.
Again, missing a lot of playmakers.
Totally. And they're missing a lot of playmakers around. Good news, Michael Pittman's out of his walking boot. He's at practice.
Good.
Sources said today Pittman still expects to return after the week 7 bye. Well, guess what this week is? Six.
Yeah, this is week 6.
Yeah. So they're off next week, the 25th, and then back for the Lions on November 1st. So that is positive news. It could have been a lot worse. We told you Costanzo's back. Phillip Rivers says the Colts aren't going to overreact to one bad game. They had a here's his quote. They had been super efficient during the 3-game winning streak. Sunday was a weird first half, and he made some critical errors in the second half. They're ready to move on. Rivers has been through just about everything you can go through.
Yeah.
That's the good news. You don't have to worry about, Phil, are you okay?
Well, he can handle it all.
He could care less.
He's given them away before, and he's won them before. So.
And he talks enough trash where it's get back out there and get after it. So Costanzo back at practice is excellent news. Darius Leonard is not. I give Darius the week off because he gets a bye week next week too.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. They didn't ask me.
What did we say about a guy with a club hand in Bobby Okereke not being able to catch the ball for interceptions?
He did.
And then he got one.
And Xavier Rhodes dropped one. Yeah. And he's got two good hands.
Yeah,
and
that I don't know how good they are.
Well, Anthony Walker had a very solid game on a bad leg as well. Yep. So the effort, I don't worry about the effort. When I watched the Colts defense, I wasn't like, oh, man, that stinks.
Well,
I thought on a couple plays that the media asked them to be elite. On two plays of elite time to stand up and be elite, they weren't.
Yeah.
And that happens. Nobody bats 1,000. I get it.
There are positions out there where they are not the Baltimore Ravens of Ray Lewis.
They're not.
They're not, you know, at that level of talent. So to think that they were number one in the league and somehow they are that quality, I mean, you do have to look at the opponents a little bit there. And the other part of that is the opponents you played this weekend was the best one on your schedule so far, and it's not even close.
And that's why
Cleveland is a very well-rounded team right now. I mean, they really are. Now, I'm not calling them a Super Bowl team, but they're very well-rounded. They're young at a lot of positions. Their defense
they're in a much tougher division
the
as the Colts, too.
Their defensive line causes a ton of problems.
Yep.
Their offensive line is very good. They've got running backs and wide receivers that can make unbelievable plays. We saw some of those. Those don't get made by most receivers.
No, it's not. And this isn't the week either for the Colts to have one eye on the bye and say, oh, good, it's Joe Burrow and Cincinnati. No. We'll see how mature this defense is this week because I don't want to sit here on Monday with you and
they
talk about
– take care of business.
I don't want to sit here and talk about Joe Burrow's 320 yards and the 50 excuses the Colts media is going to give me of why he got that. I can't hear it. The Colts, if they don't get a pass rush, Joe Burrow can hurt them on Sunday.
Yeah, and you got to find that somehow. I don't think there's any question. I do have one piece of
Please
news
shoot
to
it.
End the day on. Alabama football coach Nick Saban has what?
He has COVID?
Tested positive for COVID.
Oh, he didn't take the Falcons job?
No.
Oh.
No.
He could.
He left the facility this afternoon, so he just tested positive. So
again, a guy that nobody can get to, a guy that is larger than
wants
life.
Wants fans in the stands. Everybody wants to see everybody around. Everybody wants us to work the way it's supposed to.
And Nick's in his late 60s?
Yeah, I believe so.
So let's hope, mid-60s. Let's hope he's okay.
Yeah.
And no news is good news for most of this. 1 week from tonight, we will be previewing game week for IU football. How about that? Along with our high school sectional coverage. Dave is
on. Stay healthy, people.
That's it. Keep your mask on.
Do the right thing.
Socially distanced, physically distanced, so we can have more football as the season rolls on. Dave and Joe, Southport and North, Friday night, 6:30 for a 7 o'clock kick. I'm back tomorrow night with Zach Osterman. He'll fill us up with Archie Miller and the boys from Media Day on Tuesday. We'll talk hoops and football with the beat writer for the Indy Star. For Dave Novak, I'm Mike Glasscott. Have a fantastic Wednesday night. CBS Sports is next.